Well, hey, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Action Church and welcome to the final week of At the Movies. And Kate, by the way, I don't have connections, so we're going to have to do this like our forefathers did, old school, if you'll advance the slides. But I'm glad to have Action Kids in here, or some of Action Kids. The older Action Kids are in here this morning. It's great to have you in here. And every year in this series, what we're trying to do is we realize that movie production studios spend hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, and they hire the best actors. And what they're trying to do is not only sell movies and make us go to very expensive movies and buy expensive popcorn, but they make us feel things. And they're a lot of times the biggest, I believe, sort of the window into our culture as it is, are our movies, our media. And so what we do is we go through those movies and new release Blu-rays and kind of go, what is something from our culture that we could talk about in light of the Bible and allow them to sort of teach us, not what the Bible says at all, but to sort of illustrate what the Bible says. And so that's where this idea of At the Movies came from. Now, it seems like every year when we get to doing a animated kids movie, if you will. I'm not sure that animated movies are kids movies because I'm almost 50 and I've watched a whole lot of them, even when my kid's not around, I'll admit that. But I think just like our kids, I think they sometimes ask the deepest questions. And I know that's true of Action Kids, isn't it all, Kate? And everyone who works in Action Kids would go, yes, kids ask the best questions. And I've talked to some of you. In fact, I remember sitting down with somebody in particular, and she's like questioning my doctrine and my back. And I was like, my goodness, how do you know this? Because kids ask great questions. And a few weeks ago when we baptized several kids out of Action Kids, it was such a joy because I knew that they understood this, you know, this difficult thing, this Christianity that we all struggle with, and understood what it was to follow Jesus. So I say all that to say this. There are some great questions in this movie. I guess the first one that we would talk about is, can anyone really be anything, right? I mean, that's something that we all sort of struggle with, and especially in 2016, and this question, or this movie asked this question, I think, very, very well. And I don't know, can a bunny be a cop? I'm an old man, and so I was sitting there. For some reason, I became outraged during this movie while I was watching it with my family, and I'm just screaming at the screen, a bunny can't be a cop. And I'm saying, like, physics wouldn't allow her to knock out a rhinoceros even if you shot her out of a t-shirt cannon. It just wouldn't work. And my family's like, shut up, old man. A bunny can be a cop if he wants to. Now, my mind has sort of been changed about Officer Hop. Let's advance to the can anyone be anything? But my mind has sort of changed about that because Mitch made a good point in our meeting on Thursday. He said maybe not only can bunnies be cops, maybe all cops should be bunnies. And I was like, that's brilliant. I mean, who would mind being pulled over by an adorable bunny, right? Like, that'd be great. So I don't know. That's a question, though, that we talk about in our world. And I think it's a great question to discuss. And there's also then sort of the next question in the next slide would be this idea of, like, are animals or people born good or bad? Like, this whole movie is about an officer, Judy Hopp, as we saw in the clip, a rabbit who wants to be a cop, who's been trained all of her life to believe that, hey, there were predators and there were prey, but now we've sort of moved past that, and predators and prey can live together in harmony. But it does raise the question, I think this movie raised the question, like, what comes from our genetics? What comes from our upbringing? What are people born a certain way, or do they develop into that? It's the old nature versus nurture, and it might be in cartoon form, and it might be animals talking, but it's a really heavy question to deal with. And so I thought that was a great reason to sort of... And there's one point in the movie I want to show you. We have a clip coming up next. That I think is just sort of a great picture of this, and this is why we use movie clips, is because Judy has been raised as a bunny to fear foxes. And as we saw in the clip, like, for good reason, she's had some difficult experiences in her life. But she grows up sort of to become different. She thinks, no, what? That's not true. I don't have to fear foxes. Foxes are great. And then she meets a fox, and, well, I just want to show you this clip. It's pretty interesting. It turns out it's complicated, isn't it? And you see what I mean about how, even though it's a kid's movie, I think it asks some very, very deep questions. Like, one thing is, can friendship and communication really sort of overcome our differences? The good news about this story, what comes up next, is that Judy and Nick the fox actually become partners later. They become, it's not just a buddy cop movie, it's a bunny cop and a buddy cop movie. Basically, I realize this is a lot like Lethal Weapon minus crazy. Well, anyway, it's a lot like Lethal Weapon minus I'm too old for this and Crazy Murdoch. But beyond that, it's a bunny buddy cop movie about these two who become friends. And another question and another sort of thing that comes out of this that I think is also true and we should discuss and think about is it possible that it's not just friendship and communication that helps us overcome our differences, but also this idea that common goals. Judy and Nick have a common goal of fighting crime together, and so even though it's a kid's movie, it asks some really good questions and makes a few good points, I think, but there's one sort of elephant in the room, well, not an elephant, but something in the room that we have to discuss, because there's one question that sort of goes over into reality, and it's this: even with all our action kids in the room, why are there predators, and why are bunnies prey, right? That's hard, right? Does anybody like bunnies up here in the front? I know I like bunnies. Yes, I know we got some bunny friends. I love bunnies, and I'm not just saying that to make the action kids happy. I love to watch them out. We have a sunroom in the back of our house, and I have a couple of bunnies that live under our shed, and they come out and do this hop over each thing, and I know they're just rabbits, but I'm like, oh, it's so cute, and I really enjoy it. And I also should say, even though I grew up in Missouri on a farm, I've never eaten or shot a bunny, so does that count? I mean, I have lots of bunnies that are friends. I don't know why I said that. For some reason, I just felt like I should say that, but I still have to say, because it's true, even with all these adorable little kids looking at me, that bunnies are prey and apparently delicious because they're eaten by all these other predators, and that's hard to deal with, isn't it, kids? It's some adults back there wiping a tear away right now because this bunny is adorable. Now, I didn't say bunnies are helpless, because they're really not. In fact, bunnies are pretty remarkable. You notice how they have those cute little ears that stand up? Do you realize they can hear, like, it's almost like sonar. They can move their ears around, they can hear front to back. You also notice they have eyes on the side of their head, which is not attractive in humans, but fish and bunnies, it's really cute for some reason, I don't know. But there's a reason for that. They can actually see almost completely behind them and forward, and even their cute little cotton tail, do you know that that has a reason? Their cotton tail, they're able to go, they're kind of like a Miata, you wouldn't understand that, but kind of like a sports car in the fact they're not a supercar. They're not as fast as you think. Like, you think bunnies are really fast. You could outrun a bunny, but you couldn't keep up with the bunny because they can change directions really, really quick. And so with their cotton tail, the wild rabbits actually can run ahead of a predator, and they sort of lead them on, if you will, going back and forth and back and forth, and then they turn and they switch around with their face facing the predator, and a lot of times the predator will run right on by, which I think is a scene from Top Gun. I think that's where they got that. Another movie altogether. Sorry for mixing my movies together. But it's basically that. Like, they run ahead, and the predator sort of zones in on their cute little cotton tail, and then all of a sudden, they'll turn around, and they're just sort of invisible. But that's difficult to talk about. I'm looking at all these kids that are kind of like, we're not going to talk about killing bunnies, are we? No, I promise not. But I'm just telling you the truth. Like, bunnies are prey, and here's what makes it even worse as a parent, as an adult, and as especially a Christian. Bunnies are prey, and there are predators because God made him that way. Ooh, now that gets sort of difficult, doesn't it? This idea that, let me read to you from, it's up on the screen, but in Genesis 1, it says these words. It says, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, and small animals that scurry along the ground. He's talking about bunnies, obviously, and wild animals, predators. And that is what happened. And God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And it says God saw that it was good. So if we're Bible believers, if we believe that God is the creator, and that doesn't mean we go, oh, I don't believe in science. I love when people go, oh, Christians don't believe in science. No, we believe that the Bible and is not an instruction book. It's not a science book. It's a book that explains the thing that science can explain, like how did it all happen? You know, science would go all the way back, and then go, well, something came out of nothing. No, we believe as Christians, if you're a Bible believer, then God is the creator. God is the answer to that question of, well, where did that come from? But the problem with that, just being honest with you, is that you have to look at little kids that you love and go, the reason why there are predators and the reason why bunnies are prey and apparently quite delicious because everything likes to eat them is because God made them that way. Now, if that bothers you, and you're like, oh, it bothers me. Okay, I'm going to have that talk with my kid on the way home. Thanks a lot, Pastor Don. But if that bothers you, I've got great news for you. It's not always going to be that way. In fact, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, and I love this picture of the new heaven and the new earth, and check it out. He talks about bunnies. Well, not exactly bunnies. And this is the scripture that everyone thinks says a lion will lay down with a lamb. It doesn't, but close. It says, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. And the leopard will lie down with the baby goat. And the calf and the yearling, I just lost it. The calf and the yearling will also, I'm going to read this off the screen. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. And the cow will graze near a bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, so all vegetarians in heaven. Some of you are really happy about that. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of a deadly snake without harm, and nothing will harm or will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And I know that's an awesome thing to read, and you kind of go, oh, that sounds great. And I can't wait for the new heaven and the new earth, right? I mean, that would be great. Like, if, imagine, like, not the playing with snakes part, because your parents are right about that, like, don't do that. But just imagine, like, you couldn't be harmed by an animal. We'll get to, like, play with amazing animals that are scary right now. Nothing gets eaten. There's no predator. There's no prey. I mean, I think that's amazing, but the problem is that's the future, right? Like, that's not happening now. In fact, if you sort of try any one of those things, bad things will happen, right? Like, you don't want to put your hand in a bunch of snakes that are poisonous. Now, here's the reality side of this, because there was another guy. There was another guy who sort of lived at the same time as the prophet Isaiah and lived in the same world as Isaiah. And although Isaiah was looking forward to sort of the new heaven and the new earth and going, won't it be great when? This prophet named Hosea said another thing. He just basically said, let those who are wise understand these things. And those with discernment, listen carefully, for the way of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But then he went on to say that sinners stumble because of those ways. Now that is awkward, isn't it? To live in a world and have to stand up here and talk to you, all you kids and all you adults, and go, you know what, there are some things in life that are really sort of difficult to deal with. There are things like where you go, I hate to tell you, but God made bunnies to be prey, and God made predators that would eat them. And there's so many things like that in life where we kind of go, this is what the Bible says, and I believe it, and this is the way I think God created the earth. But it's really difficult to say because, oh, that seems harsh, or that seems, I want to show you one more clip this morning. And I think this clip, even though they didn't intend it to be, I think Zootopia captured so well this feeling that a lot of us have as Christians at that moment. At that moment where you have to choose between going, I agree with you, or going, well, actually, I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's awkward for me to say, but bunnies, they're prey, and God made predators to eat them. I mean, there's stuff like that when you talk about, you know, ethics and morality and gender and sexuality, that when you look at the way God designed the earth as a Christian and you go, Jesus is Lord and he's in charge, so I need to follow what he says, but it's so hard to sort of stand and go, I'm not saying this is my idea, but there's what I think God says, especially when you're saying it to a friend or a family member, who is hurt by it. And so there's this picture, there's this scene I'm going to show you where Judy is doing a press conference and she sort of cracked the case, if you've seen the movie, and she's got something to say about predators, but the problem is her partner Nick, her friend Nick, who is a predator, is sort of standing by watching, and it's so awkward, and I think it just sort of describes how we feel sometimes as Christians. Now, go ahead. But that sort of makes you feel, doesn't it, at that moment where she's just stating the facts as she understands them. Her beliefs about the case are that predators have instincts that could cause them to eat prey. But it really hurts the feeling of her fox friend. And it's difficult in those situations to sort of just quote Hosea, the prophet Hosea, and go, hey, the ways of God are right. Deal with them. You know, the ways of God are right. And hey, if you're wise, you'll follow them. I mean, that gets really sort of feels harsh and sort of feels mean, because the truth is sometimes we still have questions, right? I mean, what about those moments when we have questions? When we read something in Scripture and it gives us pause and we're like, is that really the way it should be? And quite frankly, there's even times that we might disagree. We might read Scripture and go, this is the way, this is what the Bible says, or this is what my pastor says, or this is what I understand even Scripture to say, but I just don't agree with that. I have people say that all the time. Well, you know, like, they'll say, what does the Bible say about something? And not like I'm Mr. Bible. I don't know everything, but I'll research it or talk to you and go, hey, here's what I think Scripture says about that. And they go, well, I disagree. Well, I get that. And that's totally your prerogative. But it doesn't change what Scripture says. And so that's a difficult moment. And I have those moments where in my life I've been like, oh, I wish it didn't say that. And then there are just times, quite frankly, where it seems unfair. You're like, oh, it seems unfair to me that cute little bunnies, God created them to be prey, and God created predators to eat cute little bunnies. I mean, doesn't that seem sort of mean? You're like, oh, I know that Isaiah talked about a new heaven and a new earth where everything's going to be different, but right here, right now, I don't like that. And so we live in that tension. And especially if we have friends or family who don't agree with the Bible or don't believe the Bible, and we're kind of like, then they always come to us and go, well, what do you think? And you want to tell them what you believe Scripture says. And as a Christian, the whole point of being a Christian, they called people Christians, is because they said Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the boss, Jesus is the King. And so we don't have a big choice in going, hey, Jesus, I'd like you to be the king of my life, but I want to tell the king what to do. And I don't even think I had to play that clip for you to feel that tension, do I? Like, you feel that. Now, I want to tell you one more thing before we end this morning. And it's something that happened on Christmas Day in 1859 in Australia. This is not a Christmas story. does anyone know what happened on Christmas Day in 1859 in Australia? I'm good. I'm glad you don't, because otherwise it would totally spoil my point. But something did happen on that day. Just the name of this group sounds hilarious, but you kind of get why what happened. In 1859, on Christmas Day, the Victorian Acclimation Society released 24 bunnies into the Australian wild. 12 pairs, male and female, of wild rabbits from Europe into the Australian wild, and their reason was clear. They wanted to have bunnies for food and hunting, and also just to make the settlers feel at home, because they had come over from Europe where they had rabbits. That was a big part of their sporting days. You know, if you've seen The Fox and the Hound, I'm bringing in a lot of other movies today, from Lethal Weapon to Fox and the Hound to Top Gun. It's been a big day, but Fox and the Hound, they wanted to hunt rabbits, so they put 24 bunnies out into the wild, and it went great. In fact, by 1920, there were 10 billion, and I'm not saying million, even though that would be frightening, 10 billion bunnies. And Don didn't make this up. This actually comes from their Heritage and Environment. It's like Ministry of Heritage and Environment, because I wanted to go back and make sure it wasn't some sort of legend. They call it the rabbit invasion in Australia. And literally, according to their government website, there were 10 billion bunnies devastated Australia. I mean, you can't even imagine like what 10 billion bunnies. So what did they do? They went, oh my goodness, this is out of control. And the reason why it happened is there were no predators. Like the bunnies were totally safe, and bunnies did what bunnies do. Apparently they have a lot of bunny babies, or 267 brothers and sisters. So anyway, they introduced predators, and you go, well, that fixed it. No, it didn't, because then they had packs of like wild dogs and dingoes, and all these predators were going out of control because they had so many bunnies to eat. And after a while, they're like, I don't think we just like bunny. We're bored with bunny. And so they're eating livestock. So it's just this madhouse. And because Action Kids are in here, and because I just don't want to be gross, they literally exterminated tens of millions, hundreds of millions of rabbits by various very barbaric methods. And you might say, well, that fixed it, but it didn't, because hundreds of millions of dead bunnies over the year polluted the water supply. There was disease. It's amazing. Today, 150 years later, according to the government of Australia, they still spend $150 million a year on this problem. It's obviously much better now. Not for the bunnies, sorry. But for the people, it's much better. But the reason why I tell you that is it makes me ask this question. Like, I started out this thing going, do bunnies need protection from predators, right? Like, that's what I was like. I was like, I hate the fact that bunnies are sort of helpless. I mean, I feel like they need protection. And then I sort of, after reading that story, went, we need protection from, you know, like the predators protect us from the bunnies. Oh, my goodness. I think if there were no predators, we'd be serving bunny overlords right now and probably not eating a lot of salads, because there'd be nothing left. And see, Here's the thing. Like, if you're in a situation, as we all are, I think, in 2016, where we're trying to reconcile, like, what the Bible says, what God designed the earth to be, and sort of where we're at as a people, I want the band to come back up here. I just want you to remember that story. Not because it fixes everything, not because it answers every question, but I just want to put this one idea in your head, that even when we don't understand, it's possible there's a reason. Let me talk to Action Kids really quick. How many of your parents have rules at home? I'm watching you. If you say they have none, I'm talking to the parents later. So tell me, do they have rules? Do you like all the rules? Somebody here likes all the rules or happy about? You're lying. I know you, and I know your mom. You don't like all your mom's rules. But here's the thing. I will not promise you, Action Kids, that you'll someday agree with your parents' rules. You might not. I will promise you this. This is from an old guy telling you this. A day will come that you will say, my parents had a reason for their rules. I may not agree still, that's called being an adult, when you realize your parents were people and they had reasons for their rules, not just to make you miserable. And I will tell you, adults, as much as we sort of like to tell God how to do his job, you know, and I do too, like going, oh, I don't like the way you designed this, or I don't like what the Bible says, or I don't, it's sort of like, and you go, well, why doesn't God freak out, and why doesn't God smite more people, and why doesn't God like come down and smite us all? Well, here's the reason why. It's sort of like your 11-year-old giving you driving instructions. We've all had that, right? If you're a parent, like 11-year-olds for some reason like know how to drive better than you do, even though they've never driven. That's what God feels about us. He still loves us, and he's like, yeah, you just stay in the back seat. Yeah, right, whatever. And that's, I just want you to think this morning, and I don't have all the answers, and I can't even make it where, whoa, you've got to, you know, like, I guarantee you some of you are going to go, let me tell you about the bunnies in Australia. That'll prove it. It's not going to prove anything to your friends. Don't do that. I just wanted to introduce just a little bit of thought in your mind that the older I get and sort of the longer I sort of follow Christ, maybe the more I grow up, not that I get better because, oh, I am a sinner. But like Hosea, the prophet Hosea, who lived exactly the same time as Isaiah, these words ring so true with me. That the words of the Lord are true and right, even when we don't get them, even when it seems harsh, even when we don't like bunnies to be eaten by predators. And righteous people live by walking in them. They're there to guide us, like we have rules for our children to guide them and protect them. But I like what another translation says. It doesn't say sinners, because we sort of take that as, oh, bad people. Well, we're all bad people. We're all sinners. We're either forgiven sinners or rebellious sinners. And it says in those paths, rebellious people stumble and fall. Let me pray with you, and then we'll have a little more music. Dear Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And God, we're really good at giving you sort of backseat directions as you drive this universe that you have created. And God, it's difficult. It really is difficult because we love people and we don't want anybody to be sad or anybody to be hurt or anybody. But in the end, God, I'm just saying to you today, God, help us to walk in your paths because they are right and they are just, even when we don't understand. And God, give us courage and strength to do that this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.